Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome today. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to Exodus 33. Begin at verse 13. Exodus 33, verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For therein shall it be known, wherein shall it be known, here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Let's pray. Pardon my clearing my throat. Father, we thank you for so many blessings. We thank you for another year.
Amen.
Thank you for another day.
Yes.
We ask God you would bless us this year. We want to see souls saved. We want to see your name glorified. We want to see works on the mission fields increase. We'd like to see a revival in many of these places, and we'd like to see the cartels in Mexico destroyed. Lord, we've got a lot of wishes and desires for this new year if you give us all this year. We thank you for how far we've come.
Amen.
We thank you for all the rich blessings that you've given us, financial and spiritual and physical and in every way. We just want to praise your name today. We want to start the new year off right. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Excuse me, I just cannot get my throat clear. Double my sinus tablets and cedar's still getting me. None of you are allergic to cedar, I know. And I'm thankful for you. Hey, Happy New Year. My son invited me out to his house to shoot firecrackers and bring in the new year, but I didn't make it. I brought in the new year watching television, you know, New York and Channel 4. One of the things I enjoyed, I taught school 20 years through three different seasons of church building. And one of the things I always really liked about teaching was you finish. You have a start, and you have a finish. And then you have a break, and a start and a finish. Well, I've thought of that way about years. And I guess most people are, because a lot of people celebrate New Year's all the way around the world in all sorts of different cultures in all sorts of ways. Well, if we look back on the year past, I know we'll see a lot of failure.
Amen.
A lot of loss.
Right.
A lot of good intentions that didn't work out.
Right.
A lot of going on diets that never finished. You may not be as bad as I am, but you're just about the same. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing what we'll tell ourselves that we ought to do and we don't get done. We know that it's good for us and yet we don't do it. And spiritually the same way. How much waste in this last year? I really don't know. But a lot. But a lot. We got a new year. It's like a new beginning. It's like a new day. Excuse me. I consider every day that I live a new gift from God. I lay down at night. God could take me in my sleep. That'd be a nice way to go. I can't think of a better one. Unless a massive heart attack in about 3 seconds. You know what we are? We're Christians. We're believers in the book. We follow a Bible and we look forward to a heaven in the future. I'm not afraid of death. Because I know I'm just simply going to go through a doorway and step into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's going to be a tremendous blessing. But don't get me wrong, I like life. The best things I've ever known come from being alive. You got anything any better? I'm alive. That's why I can enjoy eating. I'm alive. That's why I can enjoy preaching. I'm alive. I can enjoy my wife and my family, my children and my church and my friends. I'm alive. And that's a gift of God. And if God gives us another year, you can tell I'm thinking about the new year. I'm proud of you. I didn't realize I would have this many sweet people listening to me on the first after that long night last night. So I'm proud of you. I'm especially proud of Gene Cherish. You're glad somebody kicked him out of his house. Got him on the way. Praise the Lord. I just read you a passage in Exodus 33. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that in Exodus is the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God brought them out with a mighty hand. One of the greatest periods of miracles is the period in Exodus where God begins to judge Egypt and brings them out. Then there's a period of miracles. They're not all through the Bible all the time. There's a period of miracles with Elijah and Elisha. And boy, they had some tremendous miracles there. And the next big group of miracles were at Jesus Christ as he begins his ministry at about 30 years of age. And miracle after miracle happened. And there were miracles in the times of the early apostles. Now, every once in a while, somebody has a miracle. Every once in a while, God answers somebody's prayer and just heals them perfectly. But most of the time, that's not the way it is. Most of the time, you walk by faith. What is walking by faith? It's taking God's word and saying, this is the way I'll walk. It's taking God's word and saying, I'm going to believe this. No matter how hard it is to understand, no matter how hard it is for me to believe, this I'm going to believe. I want to put my life on this book. That's what you need to do this year. Amen. Well, the passage that I read there, he said in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses is saying, make us different. Make us noticed. Make us thy people. These people are supposed to be thy people. They're the people of God. They're the chosen people of God. Well, what are we? Are you a born-again Christian? You've been saved? You've been changed? Then you're his people. So I'd like to apply this to the church today. Moses is praying, God, make this nation to be known as your people. And then look at the promise. He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What a promise. He promised it to Moses, and boy, he had a lot of problems. Taking this 2 or 3 million unconverted Jews out of slavery, across the wilderness, and into the promised land, well, he had his problems. I would trade places with him. Man, hard for me to take care of 30. But he said, I want you to find grace in your sight. And God gave him a promise. Look at this. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Let me tell you something. It's good to be blessed financially by the Lord. It's good to be blessed with health and physically by the Lord. It's good to have all of the freedom-saving, work-saving devices that we have that one of the reasons why we're all Americans, not just me, but all Americans are getting a lot fatter because we don't have to work like we used to have to work and we have such an abundance of food. We're a rich, rich, rich nation.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a blessing from God. The technology that we have, the medicine, the doctors, the specializing. When I was young, you just went to a doctor. He did it all. If he didn't know something real well, that was your tough luck. But we only had about one doctor. Now then, I go to one doctor and I say, what about these? He says, oh, you have to go to a specialist over here, you know. And they put me from a specialist. Man, they're so specialized now. That's a blessing. They know more and more about smaller subjects. Like a PhD piled higher and deeper. My presence. You know, that's what you ought to want. I don't just want money in my bank account. I don't just want enough health to get up and move and enjoy life. I don't just want a few mercy drops. I want His presence. I don't just want His blessing. I want His presence. I want Him to be with me every day that I get up. I want Him to be with me in every decision I have to make. I want Him to be with me all the way down to the end until He takes me home.
Yep. Amen.
That's the promise God gave to Moses for him and the children of Israel. And look what kind of people they were. They are rebellious. They are stupid. They're idolatrous. They're self-centered. They're jealous of one another. What a group of people. They've been slaves for this hundreds of years. And Moses had to put up with it. And God said, my presence will go with you. How about that for a blessing? How about that for a blessing? My presence will go with you. That's what I want. When I get up to preach, I ask the Lord that He would be with it. I can't convert people. I can't even put bulbs off in your head. But God can. And God has done it year after year after year. He did it in me. Wow, what a great truth. God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The presence of God, that's what every believer that's been born again has. The presence of God. We have this promise fulfilled in us. And God's going with us all through this next year and hopefully the rest of our lives.
Yes. Yes.
My presence shall go with thee. There's another thing He said. I will give thee rest. I remember being lost. I was grown when I got saved. And I remember the difference between being lost and being saved in a night. Wow, what a difference. The burden of sin, self on the throne, wickedness in my mind and in my life, and all of a sudden I'm forgiven. And all of a sudden I believe something that I just thought about over the years, but I believed it. And you're right, a light goes on. Wow. God comes down and He fills your life and you're so happy. Your feet don't touch the ground. You just walk and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And maybe to some of you hard-hearted people, the tears will flow and flow for hours. The rest of God. You know, there is a rest between me and God. We're not at war. He's not my enemy. He's not my enemy. He's my friend. He's my father. He's my brother. He's my family. He's my Lord. He's my captain. He's my everything. He gave me a rest from the guilt of sin, a rest from the dominion of sin. He gave me some willpower, enough to quit some things. Yeah, it's a rest. I can look on TV and see somebody smoking a cigar and think, that sure looks good. But I'm thankful I don't have a black lung anymore. I visited too many people in the hospital that had their throats cut out and they're smoking through a little hole like here because of cancer. I don't know that I've got cancer or whether you will either. But it's sure happening to a lot of people. And I thank God, what a rest. When you delivered me from this, when you gave me the ability to get rid of this, What a blessing to me. What a rest. What a rest in my body. What a rest in my mind. God gives you rest. Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you come unto me. I will give you rest.
Amen.
You know something? I can lay down at night. And oh, I have a mind that never shuts off, and it's a hard thing to have, to tell you the truth. Because you don't sleep as much as most people sleep, or you don't think you do anyway. I can lay down and rest. Rest in the salvation of God. Rest in peace with God. Rest in the leadership of God, that God's going to lead me. Rest in the promises of this book, that if I raise my family like this, they'll be blessed. If I preach and my church is taught this, they'll be blessed. There is rest in God, and that is one tremendous promise.
Amen.
I look at that promise and I say, wow, it just blessed my heart. I was looking, I had no idea what I was going to preach on, and I came across this verse. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What a promise. Can you claim that promise? Of course you can. I hope you do. I hope it gets a hold of your mind somehow and you say, that's for me. I want the presence of God. I don't want anything that offends Him in my life. I don't want anything to drive Him out of me and my house or my family or my church. I want the presence of Almighty God. I want Him going with me all the way. And I want to walk in rest.
Amen.
At peace with God. At peace in myself. And a church at peace with each other. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Moses made a prayer after that promise. Look at his prayer. Verse 15. And he said, he's talking about Moses, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses, pretty smart fellow. Because he's very experienced. He's an 80-year-old man. He's been leading 2 or 3 million ignorant, selfish, stubborn, stupid, rebellious, sinful people. And putting up with them. You read the Bible, read Moses' things, and think to see if you would like to have that as your job. Our president, Mr. Obama, has people criticizing him every time he turns around, cussing him out, comparing him to Hitler, comparing to anybody. And every president has that. Do you understand that? And yet the poor man has to make choices between bad and worse. Not good. No, his decisions are every single day. People are after him all the time. Between what is really bad and what is worse. He got to make a choice on one of them. Moses was in a situation just like that. He's leading these people and they've got all their sin and all their stupidity. He stays a little bit long up in the mountain and they build golden calves. If I took a vacation for about 40 days and come back in here and you had a statue in here, I would think, boy, I have missed out on my job. Well, he ground it up and made them drink it. I might feel the same way.
Amen.
He said, Lord, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. Oh, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You ought to be praying that every day. When you're going to get a new job, maybe somebody's going to let you move to some other state. You're going to make a whole lot more money than what you're making here. But you don't know whether there's a church there. You don't know where your kids are going to go. You don't know about a whole lot of other things. You better pray a prayer like this. Oh, Lord, if this is not your will, make it stop. Oh, Lord, if it's not your will, make me stop it. Oh, Lord, if it's not your will, I don't want to go. A man, a friend, not a member of my church, but a friend, and a believer. He had opportunity for two jobs. One time he was a super salesman. The guy made his living selling all of his life, and he could sell ice to Eskimos. Did well. But he got out of a job. You know, salesmen do have to change jobs sometimes. And he had an opportunity to go to two different places, and he came to me. And he said, "Which do you think I should take?" And I said, "Well, tell me about them." And the only difference I saw in them was one of them, he was selling liquor, and the other one, he wasn't. I said, "Well, my mind's made up. I'd go where I don't sell liquor." He said, "But they pay more money over there." And that's the one he took. And about a year, he was out of work, and he come over and told me, he said, "You know, sure wish I'd have listened to you and taken your advice. You need to make some choices about where you're going to go. And if God won't go with you and bless you in what you're going to do, you don't need to go there." Amen. Let me tell you what, the blessing of God, it maketh rich. The blessing of God, it giveth peace. The blessing of God is the greatest thing in this life. And without it, you're empty. And without it, you're broke. Without it, your life's not worth much living.
Amen.
You can have the greatest health in the world and be absolutely miserable. This world, this United States, probably has more miserable people seeking psychiatrists and psychologists and drugs and different things to try to help, self-help books and whatever, than probably any place in the world. Why? You're not walking with God. Number one reason you're not walking with God. You didn't pay attention to where God wanted you to go, and you went without Him. Oh, I know He's still in you, but He's displeased, He's offended, He's hurt. You know what I want? I want to have God's blessing on my move. I want Him to bless every sermon I preach. I want Him to bless every doctrine I teach. I want Him to bless every advice I give. I want Him to bless every witness I give. But I don't ever want to be out of the will of God. I've been there. I don't think it's a fun place to be.
Amen.
I think that's the most miserable place for you to be.
Amen.
Out of the will of God. Moses says right here, he gives this prayer, "If you don't go with me, don't take me up there."
Amen.
Oh, you ought to be praying that. You ought to be praying that. Say, "Oh, Lord, if this isn't your decision for my life, if this isn't the way I should go, if this isn't the thing I should do, oh, God, don't let me go. Guide me, Lord. Help me." Then look at verse 16. "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" Now that's a pretty good question. Let me ask you it. How shall the world know you're saved? How do your neighbors or your family know that you've been born again? What do you have for proof? A church membership? Baptism certificate? Few people to testify on your behalf. Most murderers have that. "Wherein shall it be known that we're your people?" What an answer. "Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." I tell you what, I love this passage when I first read it. I said, "Wow, wow. What makes you different? What do you have that others ought to want?" The presence of God. That's what a Christian is. He has the presence of God. You know what happens? Just every once in a while that presence just comes out. Or uses your words. Maybe uses your emotions. Maybe uses your feet or your hands, but you walk into a situation and you meet somebody and God's presence just comes out. And they say, "Wow, you belong to God. You belong to God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory." It's not how good you are. There are an awful lot of people that think about church as teaching goodness, teaching us to be good little boys and good little girls, and give away things to poor people. And all those things are good things to do. But you know what the number one thing about you ought to be? You walk in the presence of Jesus Christ. God lives in you. Wow! God lives in you. And if God lives in you and if you submit yourself to Him, He can spread His Word. He can spread His power. He can change your life. He can change your marriage. He can change your kids. He can change your future. Oh Lord, how is the world going to know that this is Thy people? What will separate us from all the peoples on the face of the earth? The presence of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of His Word. Are you an ignorant Christian? Well, you shouldn't be. When I taught school, they knew I was a preacher. And so some question would come up in some other teacher's class, and they would send down to me a note, say, "Where do you find this in the Bible?" They expected me to know the Bible. They expected me to be able to find a verse of Scripture. They expected me to help kids learn how to pray, even in a public school. Does anybody know you belong to Jesus?
Amen.
Or down at the bar, do they think of you as just one of the buddies? Over in the pool hall, why, you're the sharkest shark they got there. Or do they know you belong to Jesus? He said, wherein can we show that we are your people and that we're different from all the other peoples on the face of the earth? His presence. The presence of God. You know, with the presence of God, sometimes you can say things you don't even know. You can help somebody when you didn't know you were helping them. You can be a place of blessing and not even realize it. Some people can work at it, do everything they want to do. They try hard. But I tell you what, you can't fake the presence of God. You can't fake being really born again. There is a real new birth. It's not just religion. It's not just being baptized. It's not just doing good works. It's not just not smoking, not drinking, not fornicating. It's the presence of God, which is above and beyond all the good things. How are we going to know that you're His people, as different from any other people on the face of the earth and every other people on the face of the earth? The presence of God ought to be in our lives. Now, if something's hindering that presence in your life, you need to take care of it.
Amen.
If you know it's been a long time since you felt close to God, then you know who moved? There was an old couple driving down the road in a pickup. And the man was behind the steering wheel and the woman was over at the passenger window. They'd been married 40 years, 50 years. And a young couple passed them. And the man's driving and the young girl's right beside him. Boy, they're all scooched up on the one side of the pickup. And his wife said, "Well, we used to do that. What happened?" He said, "I haven't moved." Let me tell you who's moved. God hasn't moved. God hasn't moved. If you're far from God today, if you're lonesome from God today, it's you who moved. You need to repent of your sin, ask God to forgive you, and you need to do that every day, you sinners.
Amen.
I know you're saints. Praise God you're saints rather than sinners, but you are sinners too because I keep watching you. You keep calling me on the phone. You keep confessing. I've had so much confession I ought to be a Catholic priest. I don't want your confession, you know that? Confess to God. I got enough problems with myself and my wife. She carries a heavy load. I'm teasing. How, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Yes, it is. How do we know we're the people of God? God goes with us. How can the world tell the difference? They can. They can. You get really born again and you have some changes in your life, something that somebody can see, they're going to come up and ask you about it. If you live it, they're going to ask you, why do you go to church all the time? Or maybe you're one of those Christians that doesn't go to church all the time. Oh, well, shame on you. Maybe you're one of those Christians that keeps your mouth shut, never tells anybody that you're a Christian. Well, shame on you. The reason why God saved you is so you could tell somebody else.
Right.
So you could influence somebody else. So that you could be somebody he could say, there's one of mine. And you could say, yeah, I'm one of his. I'm one of his. I belong to him. What a marvelous blessing. There's a reason for all this, and it's over in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. We sing it around here a lot. I think it's been a while since we sung it, but we ought to do it again. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
You know why you're where you are today? You know why you've got the blessing that you've got? You know why God has been so good to you? It's His mercy. It's the Lord's mercies. His mercy endureth forever. And all the people ought to say, His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I tell you what, if I were God, I'd consume you. And if you were God, you'd wipe me off the face of it. You'd consume me too. You're just lucky. You're just blessed. You're just fortunate that God is a faithful God.
Amen.
God is a loving God. And God is a merciful God. And it's of His mercies He didn't stamp you out like you did that roach this week.
Amen.
Amen. They're new. They're new. Every morning. Every morning. Hey, we're talking about a new year. They're new. God's mercies are new. I know you failed. I know you can look at yourself and say, what a miserable example I am. But praise God, that's the past.
Amen.
We got a new day. We got a new year. We got a new opportunity. Now, there are going to be dangers down this road. You know what life is all about? It's about troubles. Everybody's got them. Some of them got physical, some of them got mental. Some have spiritual, some have physical. All of them got troubles. Don't look at somebody and think, well, they don't have any trouble. Oh, they do. And let me tell you something else. You're going to have them too this year.
Amen.
You know what living the Christian life is about? How you respond to trouble. How you respond to life. How you respond to get your feelings hurt. How you respond from falling into sin. How you respond for trouble in your family. How you respond on things that are too big for you. That's what Christian life is all about. You responding in the right way. That's why that Bible is written. It lets you know what God considers right. It lets you know how you ought to live. Oh, what a beautiful passage of Scripture. What a great promise. What a great truth. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Look, if you will, in Matthew 1:23. It's the story of the birth of Jesus. And just two verses up, it shows the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary and fathering the child Jesus. And then it says here in verse 23, Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. What a blessing. What a blessing. What it is to get saved? It's to have God come into your life and influence you. God to come in and forgive you of all your sins. God to come in and guide you. God to come in and lead you out of your troubles and bless you. God with us. That's what we have in Christ. What a beautiful thing. I love the gospel story. I love the truth of the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit. Blesses my heart all the time. You know, not only that, when Jesus got ready to leave over in Matthew chapter 28, he says in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. I've got all the power. You go. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And look at this verse. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God with you. His presence going with you. That's what you want. That's what you need. You need it today, and you're going to need it every day this year. You're going to need it every day that God lets you live. And that's exactly what God gives us in Christ. If you'll trust the Lord and ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life, you know what He'll do? He'll walk with you the rest of the days. Amen. He'll indwell your spirit. He'll send His Holy Spirit. He'll indwell you, and then you won't have to pray to a God way out past the North Star. He's with you. He's with you. Christ in you, that's your hope of glory. Praise God to have the presence of God to go with you in all your trials, in all your sicknesses, in all your weaknesses, in all your hurt feelings, in all of your wounded pride, in all of your jealousy, in all of your being ostracized by people or being bullied by people or whatever might be your way. God going with you. And He said, you go out and teach my word. I've got all the power in heaven and earth. He's got it. You remember the one that could just say, peace be still, and the sea stopped rolling? It's not Mother Nature. It's Father God. Amen. Every time I hear Mother Nature, I think, boy, they are sure whittling that down, weakening that. It ain't Mother Nature. It's Father God that's done all these things. All power in heaven and earth. Go you therefore, because I have power, you go. And you teach them, and baptize them. And then He said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. I hope everyone in here is saved. I really do. But some of you might be, I was a member of two churches and two baptisms before I got saved. Religion does not save. Has God ever changed your life? If He hadn't changed your life, you're not saved. Because when God comes into you, He makes changes. If you're not saved, what you want to do is today. Because you're beginning the first day of the rest of your life. That's true every day. The first day of the rest of your life. You want to walk on by yourself? You want to walk on in your sin? You want to walk on under a curse? You want to walk on separated and divided, hurt? You want to walk on in the problems of this life and not have Jesus help? No, you don't want to do that. If you're not saved, get saved today.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has promised to forgive your sins and save your soul if you'll believe upon Him and call it. He shed His blood. His blood makes a better payment than all of our bloods could make. Nothing to compare to it. He'll give you freedom from sin, rest from your sin. He'll save your soul. And He'll save your life. And He might even save this year. Christian friend, I don't know what God has spoken to your heart about. Whatever it is, don't leave it there. Don't carry it home with you. Take care of it right now. Because you don't know that God will knock at your door tonight or tomorrow or next week. None of us have a guarantee of this year. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. None of us. Not the youngest and not the oldest. I know the sun's been rising on you for generation and generation and generation, but it doesn't mean it's going to rise for you tomorrow. If you're a Christian and you know you've got something that's hindering the presence of God in your life today, come down here and deal with it. You don't have to tell me. Don't tell anybody. I don't care. I just want you to be right with God. Let's sing Pass Me Not. 235.